All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. And just to remind everybody, right after the service tonight, if you're going on the Israel trip, on December the 2nd, we'll meet across the hall in Baker, and try not to keep you too long over there. All right, John chapter 14, and just for sake of tying everything together here tonight, chapter 13 is where they entered the upper room. It's the eve of the crucifixion, and the Lord is celebrating the Passover with his disciples. And you'll remember that he took a basin of water and a towel, and he washed the disciples' feet. And then he served them communion. And then he said to them in chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And so we have this great 14th chapter, and the Lord just continued to teach and to instruct. And he said in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he starts telling them about how he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And I preached about that this morning as the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and filled them in that same upper room 50 days later on the day of Pentecost. And then if you look down at verse 26, when he is speaking about this comforter, he says, "But the comforter, and that which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." And with those words, they left the upper room, and they started the journey across the city of Jerusalem, and went past the Temple Mount, and then went out the Eastern Gate and down into the Kidron Valley, which those of you that are going to Israel in a couple of weeks will see this. And they walked down through the valley, across the little creek there, and then they went up on the side of the Mount of Olives to the Garden of Gethsemane. But I want you to notice in the 13th chapter that this whole thing began. And the Lord gave them the bread, and the Lord gave them the cup, And then he gave them the assurance that the Holy Spirit was coming. And he told them, I will not speak with you after this, very little after this. And then in verse 31 of that 14th chapter, I want you to look at that last phrase. He said, arise, let, what's the next word? Us go hence. Let us. Now, what's he insinuating there? He is insinuating that he was going with them. You understand that? He didn't say, all right, you boys leave. He said, let us go. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, let us go hence. Let's pray together and then the message. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. We stand in awe of your word. And Lord, I don't know that 100 lifetimes would be able to expound all of the wonder that is in this book. But Lord, before us tonight is a great little principle, a great little truth. And here we are observing the Lord's table tonight. Here we are partaking of the bread, which is a picture of your body, and the juice, which is a picture of your blood that was shed for us. And Father, in just a little while, we will dismiss and we will go out into the world. We will leave this place that we see as a refuge. We see as a place of port, a place of calm in the storm. We'll leave here and we'll go out. And Father, how comforting it is to know that when we do, that you go with us. We do not go on our own. We have a Father who loves us, and we have a Savior who promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord, may we be encouraged tonight through the preaching of the Word of God, and may it stir our hearts and help us to realize what we have in the Lord Jesus. Bless the message and fill me with your Spirit and help me tonight as I speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus has spent the evening with his disciples in the upper room. He took a basin of water and he took a towel, hung it over his arm, and he went to each and every one of those disciples and washed their feet. When Peter objected, he took the opportunity to teach them the lesson, the very important lesson of keeping a clean heart and staying in fellowship with God. He then took the cup and the bread, and he showed them the importance of remembering the sacrifice that he was about to make on the cross of Calvary the next day. And he told them to always remember what he had done for them on that cross. When the bread had been passed out and the cup had been passed around, and the words of comfort that were spoken had soothed the troubled hearts, the Lord Jesus said to them in the last verse of this chapter, arise, let us go hence. It is upon these words that I want to speak to you tonight, hoping that in just a little bit, when we finish with communion and close the service, that you will take the thoughts that I have for you tonight and you will be encouraged in the things of the Lord as you go from this place. You know, one might think that on such a night as this, that the Lord Jesus might have wanted to be alone. I don't know about you, but I know that I've had times where the day was long and the burden was heavy. And it seemed that from sun up to sundown and late into the night, I was busy and occupied, and something was demanding my attention. And I would finally get home and sit down. And once I got home, I just wanted to sit there by myself and unwind a little bit. And you know, one might think that the Lord might have felt that way. And we wouldn't have blamed him if he had have felt that way. And if this is true of us with our lesser sorrows and our lesser anxieties, how much more must it have been with the Lord Jesus when on this evening he had the sorrows of the entire world upon his heart? I can imagine he could have used the cool night air just to walk alone across the city. I should think that he probably could have used the calmness that he could have gotten from looking up into the silence of the stars and just kind of release the load that was upon his heart. But yet we don't see that. He looks at the disciples and says to them collectively, "Arise, let us go hence." He could have left him. No, he couldn't have left him. That's the point. He could not have left them. He could not yet leave them and go out alone. He loved them far too deeply for that. Had he left them there, they might forsake him, as they were soon to do. So he simply could not walk out alone and leave that upper room and leave them behind, nor could he send them on their way and he stay behind. So when they left the table, he went with them and he walked with them through the streets of the city. And he fellowshipped with them. And in chapter 15 and 16, he gave them his heart as he walked across the city. He could not leave them alone. He fellowshipped with them all the way across the town, all the way through the valley, and until they came to the quietness of the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, folks, listen to me tonight. What was true that night is just as true for each and every one of us. Our faith is rooted in the conviction that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When I'm finished preaching tonight, I will ask the men to come forward and we will pass out the elements and we will remember what our blessed Savior did for us. And then in about 10 or 15 minutes after that, communion will be over and we will leave this place that we all love so well. And we will go to our homes and go about our duties that are before us this week. And as we do, I want you to realize that the Lord is not saying to a single one of us tonight, depart. No, no, no. Instead, he is saying to every single one of us tonight, arise, let us go hence. That means, dear friend, that wherever we are going, we have the Lord with us all the time. He is not sending us out to be alone, to thrash around on our own and to just make it the best we can. No, he will never leave us and never forsake us. He goes with us as we go. And though, of course, we cannot right now see him with our literal eyes, nor can we physically reach out and touch his hand, nor can we audibly hear his voice, but we can now fellowship with him, and that fellowship can be the most real thing that you and I have in our lives. Are we not sometimes closer to our loved ones when they are separated from us by great distances? Are we not sometimes closer to their heart? Do we not sometimes understand them better when they are with us in spirit and not in body? Well, so it is with our Lord. Listen, Christian, as you leave the table tonight and turn to go outside and get in your car, please realize that your blessed Savior, the one who meets with us here, is the one that is going with you to your home. As constant as the light of the sun is with which we see in the day, and as constant as is the air we breathe, and as constant as is the truth that the night follows the day, may we never forget that as we walk through life, the Lord Jesus goes by our side. Arise, let us go hence. Now, if we realize his constant presence, there are a couple of things that will naturally occur. I want you to think about them with me tonight. First, there are, number one, there are many questions. I'm going to word this a little differently, but you knew I would, right? I'm going to word this a little differently because I want you to think. All right, listen carefully. If we realize his constant presence, number one, there are many questions we can leave unanswered. Let that hit you. There are many questions we can leave unanswered. There's a verse that I want you to read. Now, look at chapter 16. It's probably just on the opposite page of where you are now. If not, flip the page once. Look, please, at verse 4. The Lord Jesus, they're still walking. They're going across the city. And in verse 4, here's what the Lord Jesus said to the disciples. Listen carefully to this. He said, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. I think it applies to the point that I want you to see, this first point. Folks, just think of these words. Remember now, this entire section, which started in chapter 13, has been just unfolding as the Lord Jesus is telling all that they would need before he left them to go back to heaven. But just think about chapter 16, verse 4 for a moment. What did the Lord mean in verse 4? I think they mean that in the minds of the disciples, there were many questions they had that Jesus might have answered. If Jesus had wanted to, he could have explained 1,000 mysteries to them on that night. But instead of that, he walked with them and he lived with them. He showed them what was the secret of his heart. He revealed himself over and over to them until they felt that was enough for them. They were content for the moment not to know everything. They were content for the moment not to have all the answers. For the moment, they were satisfied not to have all the mysteries explained. You see, folks, it was enough for them just to have Jesus there. Just to have him there. They had his fellowship. And that was enough. Just to know that he was there. That was enough for them. They were satisfied with that. Oh, I'm sure that there were many things they wondered about. But those things could wait. For they had Jesus. And that was enough. And folks, as it was with them, so it is with every one of us. If Christ goes with us tonight, as we leave the table, the communion table, there are many questions we can leave unanswered. You see, we don't have to know everything if the Lord is right there by our side to guide us through life. Those questions of why me? Of course, nobody here has ever asked that question. Those questions of what do I do now? And again, I know nobody here has ever asked that question. Oh, Lord, what do I do now? You see, there's some things you just don't have to know the answer to if the Lord is by your side. And when you have the Lord by your side, you don't need to ask. Him being there is enough. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Knowing that Christ is with us in the darkness, we simply feel that the answer is standing right there beside of us. We don't need to be able to see what's in the dark if the Lord is standing there. I remember years ago when our girls were just little toddlers. We lived in Dixie, and the girls were about 2 1/2, maybe 3 years old. I guess maybe 3 years old. And every time a storm came in the night, every time, bar none, every time a storm came, 0.2 seconds after the first crack of thunder, you heard the pitter-patter of little feet. I mean, here they came, both of them, just one right after the other. And every single time, Lauren would run to Karen's side of the bed, and Leanne would run to my side of the bed. And one night, there was a terrible storm that hit just about the time the sun came up. It was just barely light outside. And I heard the storm coming, and I woke up, and I was laying there kind of giggling to myself, wondering, how long is it going to take them to get in here? And no sooner had I thought that than I heard movement, and I heard those little feet hit the bed, or hit the floor, and down the hallway they came into our room. Lauren went around to Karen's side of the bed and crawled over, and Karen put her in between us. And then Leanne came the other way, and I grabbed Leanne and put her in between us. So it was Karen, Lauren, Leanne, me. And so I turned my back and faced the wall. I turned my back to Leanne. And a big crack of thunder hit right after they got in the bed and got all covered up. And all of a sudden, I felt this little hand come over and grab me by the face. And that little hand turned me over like this. And she said, "Daddy, turn your face towards me." So I flipped over on the other side. And I watched her as she looked into my eyes, and then her little eyelids got heavy, and boom, she went right back off to sleep again. Turn your face towards me. Let me tell you something, Christian. Our deepest answers will not be given by added knowledge. Did you hear what I just said? Our deepest answer will not be given by added knowledge. Our deepest answer will be given through closer intimacy. Let me say it this way. To know Him is to be happy. That's where you're going to find your answers. To know Him is to be happy. Not to know Him is to be confused. As a Christian, I do not have to have the answers. It's enough that I have Him next to me. As I walk with Him, I can see in Him the very heart of God, and that enables me to lay my burdens down and just be happy in His presence. So, if we will realize His constant presence, there are many questions that we can leave unanswered. Number two, listen to this. If Christ goes with us, there is nothing we need to fear. Nothing. You know, there seems today to be a lot of people who are living life with a great deal of fear in their lives. Well, folks, might I remind you that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you cannot study the life of Christ and not be arrested by the fact that our Lord Jesus never feared anything. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but He didn't fear anything. I know of no man who was as resourceful as was our Savior. From the beginning of His ministry, think about it. Evil men came at Him from every angle with the intent of entrapping Him and silencing His ministry, cutting Him off from His ministry. No one was ever more cunning or cunningly approached by evil men as was our Lord. Those wicked Pharisees and those scribes and lawyers, they all sat around in rooms and devised evil schemes to try to entrap and to ensnare our Lord. Traps were laid for Him at every turn. Subtlety was used at every turn. And it was used in an instant. I mean, they would just spring these attacks upon Him. And yet, He was always equal to the attacked. They were never, not even once, able to trip Him up. Not once. He would avert their attempts with such ease that it even astounded them that He was able to get out of the traps that they laid in front of Him. He would take their arguments and He would spin them around and make a cocoon out of their own arguments and envelop them in their own arguments. He would take their argument and give them a parable which would leave them looking like fools in front of the people that paid them and the people laughing at them. And He would just stand there and smile. Amazing. And then think of those times when life just happened, when things just happened, like when the disciples were in the boat and the Lord Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And so they got on the boat and started across, and the Lord Jesus laid down to sleep. And while He was asleep, a storm blew up. Man, when that happened, professional fishermen thought, this is it. We're going down. That storm came out of nowhere, and chaos and panic and fear set in. And you read the story and you'll see these disciples, professional fishermen, many of them, and they were scared to death. From a human perspective, it did not look like they were going to make it. But with all the calm and assurance that a man could have, the Lord Jesus simply woke up, rubbed the sleep out of his eyes, walked over and raised a hand and said to the storm, "Peace, be still." And in an instant, the storm stopped and the seas were calm. On two occasions, folks had been with him and the disciples for days, and they were hungry, and Jesus simply took a couple of biscuits and a couple of sardines, and he blessed them, and on two occasions fed multitudes of people and had baskets full left over. I'm saying, folks, there was never a need that he could not meet. It didn't matter what happened, whether it was nature rising up, or whether it was the people needing food, whether it was the scribes and the Pharisees trying to entrap him, there was never a need that he could not meet. Never a problem he could not handle. Never a situation that he could not deal with. And this resourcefulness, this perfect mastery, was never so manifest or so magnificent as when he was shielding or when he was sheltering his own. Now, brethren, do you believe that your Savior is the same today as he was then? I do. I believe that because that's what my Bible tells me. My Bible tells me that the Jesus that I serve today is the same Jesus that took care of these disciples and who calmed the storm for them and who was resourceful at every turn, who never showed an ounce of fear no matter what he had to face. And so if he goes with you tonight after the communion service is over, I submit to you that you have nothing to fear as you go out these doors tonight. No matter what the world may throw at you this week. Do you think he has lost that power of defending and protecting? I don't think he has. Do you think that he has lost that power of providing that he was so good at doing when he was here? I don't think he's lost that. Now that he's seated at the right hand of God the Father on the Father's throne, has he lost the power to accomplish these things in us? I don't think so. Folks, may I remind you that just a few years ago, you took a Friday night and a Friday evening and Friday night and Saturday, and you met in this auditorium and you prayed for God to put his hand on your preacher, and he did. Can I remind you of that? Oh, you got nothing to fear. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Folks, I'm telling you, you got a friend that is going to go hence with you tonight when you leave the table. What do you have to face tomorrow that should cause you fear knowing that the Savior is walking with you? Well, listen to him say to the disciples, "Arise and let us go hence." If Christ is with you as you go, what in the world do you have to fear? I say nothing. I say nothing. You just let the world throw at you what the world wants to throw at you. You got nothing to fear. You know Jesus. Let the doctor give you the bad report. Hey, folks, I'm not trying to be glib here, but you know we're all going to die. John R. Rice was preaching down in Texas in a revival meeting, and he offended the crowd, go figure. And Somebody came up after the service one night and was mad as he could be, and he reached behind him and pulled out a gun and stuck it out in John R. Rice's face and said, "I'm just going to kill you." And John R. Rice just pulled his glasses down, looked over, and said, "Sir, you can't scare me with heaven." Now that's faith right there. "Sir, you can't scare me with heaven." So you die. Now, I don't want anybody to do it. I'm not trying to be glib. But let me tell you something, folks. If one of us dies, we're so much better off than everybody else here. Oh, we'll miss you when you're gone. We miss a lot of folks. I miss a lot of folks. Man, I think about Don Goodwin all the time. I just think about Don all the time. Don, oh, what a man of God. I think about George Real. I miss George. I think about Mary King. Louie, I think of Mary all the time. I just miss her so much. I know you do too. Oh, yeah. But my, they're so much better off than we are. What do we have to fear? And we'll see them all again real soon. Sooner than any of you want to admit. Arise, let us go hence. It's okay to go hence, because he's going to go with us. And we got nothing to fear. They had been sitting there all evening, listening to him tell them of persecution that was coming, of how the world would hate them. He said, "Guys, the world hated me, so don't you be surprised when the world hates you." He sat there all evening and he told them how that they would come after them and seek to kill them. And you know what? Every one of them died a martyr's death. Every one of them. They had no idea what was waiting on them outside those doors. They had no idea. He did. And that's why he said to them, "Let us go hence." And you know, they soon found out that even though he died, and even though he was buried and resurrected and ascended back to heaven, they soon found out that his promise was true. When Stephen was being stoned, he looked up into heaven and he said, "I see Jesus." Oh yeah, Jesus was there. Standing at the Father's right hand. Hey, Paul told us that Jesus ascended to heaven and is seated at the Father's right hand. And yet when Stephen looked up, he saw Jesus standing. I don't know about you, but when somebody comes in my house, I stand up. I'm glad to see him. And I can see Jesus standing up. "Good job, Stephen. Come on in, son. We've been waiting on you." Amen. There was old John on the Isle of Patmos. It was the Lord's day, and he was in the Spirit. And he heard a trumpet sound, and he turned to see the voice. And when he did, who'd he see? There was Jesus. You see, this promise that he made, he kept that promise. Now, folks, is he not the same yesterday, today, and forever? So that means that in just a few moments, when we take the bread and we drink the cup and I pray and we sing a song and we walk out these doors, I want you to just listen to that little echo through history and hear the voice of our Savior say to your heart and mind, "Let us go hence." And realize that when you go out that door, he goes with you.